Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I had an interesting week this week. And it just goes to show the faithfulness of God. And if you don't think He's faithful, then just try Him. Engage in relationship, in life, union with Him, and watch Him work. I think we can look at our life journeys and we can see God orchestrating our past and orchestrating things in our lives. And not just orchestrating things, but orchestrating our lives. This week, I had a pretty solid week. I mean, as far as, reading scripture and listening to some preaching podcasts and all of that. And then we had a wedding on Friday and Saturday, and it was up in North Georgia. And I was really, Lori and I were really trying to just to pour into the couple and, just release kingdom. And hope and all of those things. And, the groom is from England, and so there were like 30-something people from the UK that were at the wedding and all of that. And it was a beautiful 2 days. But I was really focused on those 2 days. And last night we come rolling in, and it's about, 11:30, 12 o'clock. And I have no idea what I'm going to preach today. None whatsoever. You ever had those, Brett? Lori's like, don't worry about it. We'll just worship. And I'm like, Lord, I felt like I've been a good steward, if you will, this week and all of that, and really been focused on what was in front of me and everything. If you guys hadn't been here, it's like, been here with a mic in your hand, and it's like, okay, I'm supposed to bring a life-changing word to these people, and it's Saturday night at midnight, and I ain't got a clue what I'm going to preach tomorrow. And I dream a lot, but usually they're not spiritual dreams, or if they are spiritual, I haven't grasped the discernment to interpret the dreams. I mean, usually it's like too many tacos, Jamie. It's just like, okay, that was weird as all get out, and I try to say, oh, let me try to bring some spin. It's like, nah, ain't nothing there. It's just weird. But last night about midnight, I'm like, man, we're just 12:30, something like that. I said, I'm just going to bed. I ain't going to worry about it tonight. And so right before daylight, the Lord came to me in a very, very simple dream, and I immediately knew it was Him. It was cool. It was simple, but it was profound. And when I woke up from it, it was just cracking daylight, and I went ahead and got up and put a pot of coffee on and let the Lord begin to unfold stuff. And He's just so faithful, guys. In 15 minutes, He's like, okay, here's all of this. This is what I want you to share and release and all of that. And the dream that He gave me was, like I say, it's very simple, but it was pretty profound. And we were in a Christian school. And I don't know if I was teacher or headmaster or what, but it was between classes, and it was in a classroom type setting between classes. And I'm walking down the hallway with three or four elementary grade boys, and we're going to the next class. And these kids are like running, they're like sprinting, going to the next class. And I'm making it fun with them, man, hey, I'll race you and all of this stuff. Well, we get to where several girls are, and they're transitioning between class and all that. But when we get to the girls, they're not near as big a rush as we are. There's a couple of them even that are kneeling down in the hallway and praying like between class. And, I'm like, and we go by the girls, and one of the girls that's praying, she looks up at one of the little boys, and she said, too fast. And the little boy looked down at her, and he said, too slow. And the Lord began immediately to, I just real clarity on what He's trying to teach me on that. He began to talk to me about the pace of our journey. And we come in and we try to assimilate to everyone else's pace. The path that is set before us. We allow the best word that I, or one of the best words that I can use to describe the Western church is homogenized. Homogenized is a word that we use for milk and things are blended and all of that stuff. And we've allowed society, we've allowed the business of church to homogenize us. That it's like you'll follow these certain steps, then you'll be a good Christian. If you follow these certain steps, you'll grow as a church. If you follow these certain steps, then this will happen, or this will happen, or this will happen. And we try to come in and we try to homogenize everyone and say, this is your formula. You know, I saw it big time when I was coming through. Was the first real big push. I felt like maybe I was just more aware of it. But the generation before me, everybody didn't go to college. My generation, it was a big push for all the kids that, man, you got to go to college. You know, if you don't, you're just like, you know, missing out. You're going to be a failure in life and all of these things. And it's just what you do, you know. And so you got all these kids and they're running off to college and they're, you know, what are you going to major in? Marketing? Yeah, you and 8 million other people. You know, what are you going to do that? I don't know. I'll sell something. And it homogenized everyone. And now I'm seeing kind of a swing back. And I had conversations all weekend with high school and college age kids and all of that stuff. And now there's this thing. It's like maybe high school is not for everyone. I mean, excuse me, maybe college is not for everyone. Maybe trade school, maybe learning a craft, maybe learning these things or doing this. And I love that we are getting away from a homogenization. Okay. I'm not anti-college, man. If that's your path, then you go for it, okay? Me and Lori didn't graduate. Both my girls did. Neither one of them's using their degree, you know, so there you go, whatever. You know, you can stick with it. It's important for you. It opens doors. I get it, Eric. You know, obviously, yes, you got to have it. You can't teach. You know, so I'm not devaluing. But what I am devaluing is how we come in and we try to put this just blanket path, this blanket journey, and say, this is what you follow, and if you do this, and we listen to the guys when I'm coming through, you listen to the Gary Smalley's on marriage, you listen to the guys like Dave Ramsey on finance and all that. And I'm not saying there's not good value and truth that we can pull from things, but we let everybody else show us our path and say, this is what you need to do, and this is who you need to be. You need to slow down. No, you need to speed up. And we try to bring everybody else into our way, or what, I'm not even going to say our way, because usually it's not our way. It's the way that is told us this is the way you're supposed to go. God has called us as unique individuals. God has called us to go on a life journey that is unique to us. There are truths that we stay by. There are truths that we stand on. The cross, the blood of Jesus, redemption, all of these things. I'm not saying that we stray away from these things. The gathering of the saints, all of this stuff is extremely important. But the thing is we were talking to a young couple from England yesterday. And the guy that was that married my cousin, Jono, he's got 4 brothers, and talking to his mom Friday night and everything. And she said, yeah, I always figured he'd be the last one to get married, but he actually wound up being the first. You know, and then he's telling me the backstory on his brothers. You know, one of them's been dating a girl for 6 years and, you know, 22, and they hadn't got married yet, but they're going to another year. Another one's getting married next June. I'm getting all the backstory on these people. And so I'm talking to the 22-year-old that's been with a girl for 6 years. You know, and they're waiting on all these circumstances. You know, it's a given. Oh, we're going to get married and all this, but they're waiting on all these circumstances. And I'm not, that's their path. But it gave me the opportunity to share mine and Lori's story. You know, and we were just talking, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I started dating her when she was 15, and, you know, we got married when she was 18. We've been married for 41 years. It's amazing, all of these things. And, you know, I said, and in reality, I said, I would have married her when she was 16 if I could have, in all seriousness. And she would have done the same thing. If we could have, we'd have got married when she was 16. And it was a thing of us knowing, and we're just trying to share and release into these guys. The thing that I'm talking about this morning is the pace of the journey, our path, the path that God has laid out for us. Okay. So let me read some scripture. Let me hit a few things and then we'll high five and leave. All right. We're in Hebrews 12 verse 1. He says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us, the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. For the path has been already marked out before us. For the path has been already marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm. We focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward in faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. In my notes, I put in Hebrews 12:1, the writer says that the path has been already marked out before us. And I put, sometimes this is a path that has been well traveled. The Apostle Paul said, follow me in what I've modeled before you. And often it is unique to us and our family. I remember a few years ago, when we're skiing and we're skiing in steep terrain, and you're standing up on the edge and you're looking down the precipice, you have to find your line. If you're hiking and it's not on a marked trail or a guided trail, Eric, when you're out in Montana and you're looking up a mountain and you're like, we've got to climb 1,500 feet of vertical, then you look and you find and establish your line. And it's a line that you feel like will allow you to navigate this climb. If we're skiing, it's a line that I feel like I can ski down this couloir or this steep slope or something like this. But I have to find my line and pick my line. And this is important, guys, because so often we want to do the line that everybody else says that's the way you need to go. There was a movie a few years ago, and Errol would appreciate this. She's in nursery this morning, but it was an action movie, and I think the name of it was Point Break. And there was some stunning scenery in it. I love the scenery in it. It was super cool in that. But there's one scene in this movie, and these two guys were actually free climbing Angel Falls down in Venezuela. It's the highest unbroken waterfalls in the world. It's like 970 something feet. If it wasn't in Venezuela, I'd love to go to it. But you know, it's amazing. And in this movie, these guys are going up and they're starting to free climb this thing. And the guy that's the leader of the two, he looks at it and he says, oh, there's my line. He says, look at it. Can't you see it? It's beautiful. And in his mind, he's already seeing his whole path up this 979-foot waterfall. And he says, this is the way I'm going to climb it and all. And I can't wrap my head around that world of free climbing stuff and all of that. But anyway, this guy's, he's seeing this and all. And he says, I see my line and it's beautiful and it's amazing. And so he starts his ascent of this. The guy behind him says, man, I can't see the line. I don't see it. And he says, oh, look, right, it's right there. It's beautiful and all of this stuff. And the guy was like, man, I don't see it, but I'm going to follow you. And so he starts following this guy. And in the movie, they get up a certain way, several hundred feet up. And the whole time, this guy that's following him, he's like, I can't see the line. And finally, he tells the guy that's in the lead, he says, man, I can't find the line. It's your line. It's not my line. So ultimately, you know what happens? He falls. He dies. Because he's trying to follow a line that somebody else sees. He's following a line that somebody else sees instead of the line that he sees. And what I feel like the Father's trying to tell us is that there's a pace of our journey and there is a course of our journey that's unique to us. It's unique to us. And if we're going to be successful navigating this thing of life, yes, there are some well-worn trails that are a part of our journey. That's the staples of our faith. That's our salvation. That's our trust in Jesus. That's the work of Jesus on the cross and all of those things. But every one of our lives is going to take on a unique trajectory and a unique pace. A unique pace. We were talking about riding in field trials yesterday with my uncle and some of the people, their horse people. And he said, man, you need to come down to field trials and bring your grandkids and all of that. And that's where you get on horses. You follow the bird dogs as they're doing the work and they're judged and all of that stuff. And there's a gallery and it's a pretty good pace and all that. I'm like, dude, I'd have to bring quarter horses down there because I've only got two gated horses. And that'd be torture because it'd bounce you to death, absolute death, because they're the not gated. They can't run at that pace and be smooth. Whereas a gated horse, you could put a set of cup of coffee on their back and it would be smooth. Major and Bandana are different, Isaac. Elliot, as great as he is, if we carried him to the field trials, it would be the whole time. And I feel like life is a lot more difficult than it should be because we're going ungated. We're going at the wrong pace. Or we are going in the someone else is following somebody else's line. And the key to you being successful is to find out and see who God wants you to be and follow that trajectory and the uniqueness of your life, the uniqueness of what your relationships look like, the uniqueness of what your career looks like, the uniqueness of all of these things. When we try to come in and we buy into the homogenization is when we get lost. We lose our identity and all of that. This is touchy, and I know it's sensitive for a lot of people in here. We've been talking a lot. It just seems like there are so many suicides that we've been hearing about and seeing and experiencing with people we know firsthand and all that. And I know there are a ton of factors that come into that. I'm not saying that I got all this figured out or anything. But I do know one thing that factors in is a misidentification. The enemy comes in and mislabels and says, this is who you are, or this is who you're not. And so they don't have their true identity. They have a misidentity of this is who you are and these are the problems and life's not worth living and all of these things. And it comes into the enemy coming in and denying them of the uniqueness of who they are and being able to follow their path. The course that is set before them. And there's a word in Hebrews 11 that I really love. Let's flip back there for just a second. And let's look at something. And we're talking about Moses right now and not Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 23. It says, faith prompted the parents of Moses at his birth to hide him for 3 months because they realized their child was exceptional and they refused to be afraid of the king's edict. Faith enabled Moses to choose God's will, for although he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he refused to make that his identity, choosing instead to suffer mistreatment with the people of God. This is the phrase I love. Moses preferred face certainty above the momentary enjoyment of sin's pleasures. He found his true wealth in suffering abuse for being anointed more than anything the world could offer him, for his eyes looked with wonder not on the immediate but on the ultimate faith's great reward. And then it talks about how holding faith's promises, faith stirred, faith opened the way, all of these things. But it says Moses preferred faith's certainty. You know what gives us freedom to follow a unique path or the pace of our journey? You know what gives us the freedom of that? Is faith certainty. When I build my life and I rest on faith certainty, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. That God is going to be faithful throughout my life and he's going to finish these things that he started. He's going to orchestrate things in my life. You know, we sing, you're never going to let me down. You're never going to let me down. We have to believe that. We have to know that and understand that and rest in that. And when we get settled in that place, it gives us freedom to walk according to our pace. And if it's little boys running through the hallway, it's not too fast. It's exactly. See, here's the funny thing about it was the little girl in the dream. And I'm not knocking the little girl in the dream because her pace was a slower pace. I'm in the hallway, kneel down, praying and meditating before my last class. You know who got the boys fired up about, let's go run to the next class and get there as fast as we can and making it a game. Let's race to see who get there first. You know who did that in the dream? Me. I was spurring it on. And we can come in and we can say, well, man, you're right. I need to slow down. And it's not about running in the halls. It's not about saying you got to kneel down in here before every class, but it's the freedom to be you. It's the freedom to be unique. We talked about that a little bit last week, you know, and Scott and his funky britches and all of that. I love the liberty that we find in that. So I want to just bring out three or four points out of this, and we'll just let it we'll let it soak, we'll let it marinate. Okay. How many of you feel constrained by society? What risk would you take if you weren't worried about the fear of finances? Fear of spousal approval. Fear of approval of peers. Fear of the opinion of man. How would your life look? What risk would you take? If we come in and said, Mary, what do you want to be in life? I mean, what are you passionate about? Not what makes sense. What are you passionate about? What stirs your heart? I preached a sermon. I've got a quote. I leave it on my desk all the time. Every month I switch it over, and it's be fearless in the pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. I said the great question is not will you be fearless. The great question is what sets your soul on fire. What sets your soul on fire? I'm not talking about the lust of the flesh. I'm talking about what sets your soul on fire. As a kingdom girl, as a lover of Jesus that has his spirit living inside of you. Beth and Brett might chastise me later on. Chase after that. Because in that journey, you'll find the people that you're supposed to meet. You'll find the husband you're supposed to meet. You'll raise your children the way God intended for Mary to raise her children. Right? I believe that with all my heart. I believe that to the core, guys. Homogenization robs us of the freedom to take risk. You know? It robs us of the freedom to be bold in our life. To be bold in our faith. It robs us of the adventure of this faith journey. You know why the churches aren't more full? You know why our church isn't more full every week? People get bored in their faith. They've checked the boxes. They're saved. They love Jesus. Well, they say they love Jesus. They're not saved. I'm going to heaven. Sitting Hannah, I was having a conversation with her a few weeks ago, and I asked her about one of her friends. You know, where do they go to church? She says, well, they don't really go. I said, but no, she comes here every time, you know, she spends a night with me. She brings a dress. She knows she's coming and all that. And then all of a sudden, she just starts talking about all her other friends. I said, yeah, they go about once a month, once every 6 weeks and all of that stuff. And, you know, and I'm not commenting in any way whatsoever. I don't want to put any kind of bias on her. But I feel like the Spirit's saying the reason that people are not engaged is because people are bored in their faith. It's not the adventure that it should be. Brett, do you remember when your faith was this amazing adventure? You remember how it pushed you to believe for crazy things? how you experience God in crazy ways. Eric, why don't you go hunt high fence? He's laughing right now. You may have one planned and you didn't tell me about it. I don't think so. You're not that dude, me either. It's the same reason that canned Christianity doesn't do it for us. Because you want to be in the mountains whether you kill out or don't kill out. You know? I reference you all the time. I was talking to a dude at the Mexican restaurant the other night. And he's about to head out to Colorado on elk hunt. And he said, man, we're going unguided and we're just going out in there and going to see what we can do and all that. He said, I probably won't kill nothing, but I'm going to have fun and all this stuff. I said, I got a buddy who does the same thing. I said, I think he's killed one in 3 years going out and doing that. But I said, every year is a great adventure for him because he's hiking in high alpine and he's seeing amazing stuff. And he's experiencing, he's feeling alive. But, you know, you could sit in a stand and shoot a deer and cut the ear tag out of his thing and have a great mount on the wall. And we laugh about that. I'm sorry if you guys do that. That's your thing. Yes, you do you. I just made fun of you, but do you? But we allow our faith journey to be the same thing. We want a controlled environment with a known outcome. Then I'm going to come in and the extent of my faith journey is the fact that one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. Well, I checked the box, so why pursue anything else? Why do anything else? It's like saying I've seen the ocean and so therefore all of the oceans in the world. Oh, I've seen that because I went to Gulf Shores one time. Beautiful beaches. That's a great beach, one of many all over the world. And we treat our faith the same way, guys. Let me read to you and bring out just a few points about the... Is anybody tracking with me this morning? Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? That's what I was trying to release into this couple yesterday. Is that love works. That you can build your life on it. You can build your foundation on it. There's an expected outcome. And man, they've come from multiple divorces. So, you know, I can see them going into it like, and they need somebody to say, you know what, it works. It works. And not only does it work, it doesn't endure. I said, it is amazing. And I'm here to tell you, your faith journey can be like that. Sharon, it doesn't have to be this bland, boring, the word I use, homogenized experience where you come in and you check the box and you say, well, I'm going to heaven one day and I repeated a prayer and all that. Great, that's a starting point. Let's quit putting everything in the heaven and hell basket over here. Do I believe in heaven? Absolutely, I believe in heaven. I believe Virgil Siegel is in the presence of the Lord right now. Absolutely, I believe in that. But if you've got everything on pause until you get to that place of escape to get there, you are missing out on life. Isaac, you're talking about the amazing, beautiful things y'all experienced with Virgil the last 2 weeks of his life. Y'all had that encapsulated in a two-week span. And as beautiful as that was, and I know y'all had great relationship and y'all experienced things, what if we lived every day with the passion of that and the love of that and the appreciation of that and the thoughtfulness of that toward, you know, like right now you guys are thinking, man, how can we undergird and support Linda? How can we be there for Linda and all of that stuff, you know? But what if that is part of the fabric and the DNA of every bit of our life's journey, that every moment is special, every moment is significant and all of this stuff, you know? One of my cousins was out there on the dance floor last night with his two daughters, you know, that are this and this. And I said, you going to turn around? They were having a ball. I mean, they were having so much fun and all of that. And when they came off, I leaned over to him. I said, man, enjoy it because in about, you know, by the time you turn around, I didn't put a time, by the time you turn around, you'll be doing the daddy-daughter dance and they'll be the one getting married. And Scott, it's like that old song, Cats in the Cradle. And that's the way we live our lives. We go through, man. And we miss out on this amazing journey that God has set before us. And here's the cool thing about it is he's come in and he said, this is Sharon's journey. And it's unique and it's beautiful. And it is not boring. My gosh, you raised your two adopted sons. I think did a great job with it. I applaud you. I'm a big fan. I saw a kid at Tractor Supply yesterday, and he came up and said, hey. And I was like, and I looked around and I was like, oh, I know you. He said, you remember me? I said, yeah, I remember you, R. Davis. I said, I remember you. He said, you still preaching at Victory Fellowship? I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, you still know Sharon Stanford? He said, yeah, he lit up. He said, yes, I do. I said, she's pretty awesome, isn't she? He said, yeah. That's a unique journey. That's a unique journey for us, guys. That's a unique journey. I was hanging out with Larry last night and your friend Cameron. And he's raised his granddaughter. You know, Larry's 75. He's my cousin. He's 75. And I bet, yeah, he is. He'll be 75 in December. Oh, yeah, he's my cousin, too. And I'm like, I bet Larry never would have thought 20 years ago, I'm going to raise my granddaughter. And I was talking to him, and maybe Donis was there, too. I don't know. And I was like, y'all got a great granddaughter. I said, Cameron's awesome. And Lori was chiming in that she's got great friends too. She said, just to let you know, she's got a real good friend group. And the girls that she runs around with, they're awesome. They're awesome girls. And he's sitting there like, you know, and this didn't come up in the conversation, but I'm thinking, he's 75-year-old and he's got a daughter, if you will. It's his granddaughter. She's a sophomore in high school, right? I'm like, whew. That's got to be exhausting sometimes. But the journey that's set before us, just think if you had your two and 30 years from now. The journey set before us. God gives us these beautiful, and I guarantee you, if we had a sit down and we were talking, he would say, oh, man, I look at this, and it's beautiful, and I look at this, it's beautiful, and this. And when you know, when I brag on Cameron, and I'm like, man, you know, Larry, she's an awesome girl and all this, you can just see the fatherly pride, the grandfatherly pride, and it comes up, and he says, yeah, man, she is awesome. And the joy in that journey. And we're like, oh, man, that's 75-year-old with a teenager. Oh. He might not like me telling everybody he's 75. He looks good to be 75. But I'm like, the joy that was set before Jesus, the joy that's set before you, the joy of the journey, the uniqueness of the journey that God's brought into our life. Tyler, I saw your face as several of the kids down here praying with Isaac, and I felt like they were probably praying for their schoolmate and all of that stuff, and I saw your face, and it was just, you know, it was like, yeah, man. I know what it's like to be in ministry, dude. I've been doing it for 30-something years, and I know there are times when you're like, oh, I'm too busy, you know. Me and Lori used a phrase sometimes. I'm just being honest with y'all this morning. We use a phrase sometimes. Man, I'm just tired of adulting. You know? I really didn't want to do a wedding this weekend in North Georgia. Spent 8 hours and 2 days driving back and forth to it. But it was beautiful. I'm not saying the flowers or the dress. That was pretty too. But I'm saying it was beautiful. You know? Usually the speeches are goofy and all of that stuff, you know, at the reception and all that. I'm sitting over crying. I'm like, man, this is this is bad. I'm just sitting here just crying over what usually are goofy speeches. I don't think the best man's got me, but everybody else is dead. That's usually the goofiest. But it was a beautiful thing. And you know what? It's 2 days of my life that I'm glad we walked that trail. Thank you for walking that trail. I know it's hard sometimes. I know it's discouraging sometimes. You know, summertime, everybody's gone. You show up, there's 10 kids that you can... What if one of them's a Timothy? And I want to tell you something. You're not taking away from your boys in doing that. Because my girls grew up in the middle of it. Errol grew up in the middle of it. Just like Caroline and KK are growing up in the middle of it. And part of my journey is not just the Camerons and the other people that God's connected me to. Part of my journey is the Carter boys or the Tollison girls that think they're big and free to be unique and all that. You know why? Because the way y'all love on them. The way y'all accept them. The way y'all put value on them. Soon, I don't know when, I'm going to preach a sermon on honor from top to bottom. We understand honoring up, but honoring goes top to bottom. Honoring goes top to bottom. I don't feel like I'm going to expository teach these points. I'll save that. I just feel like the Lord's saying, okay. Holy Spirit will teach you how to do this journey. Holy Spirit will teach you the pace. Holy Spirit will show you your line. Don't necessarily follow my line. Follow your line. I love the school systems. I'm proud both of my daughters are homeschooling this year. For our family and the uniqueness of our family, it's a perfect fit. It might be for a year, it might be for 5 years, but right now it's a perfect fit. But that's not the path that I would tell you. Oh, you need to do this or you're jacked up. You don't love Jesus. We have amazing women that are, and men that are teachers in our midst. And part of our small congregation, we got half dozen teachers. And all y'all are amazing. I'd love for my grandchildren to sit in y'all's classrooms. But our line right now is them doing that. I just want to give you the freedom. God wants to give you the freedom to be Jamie White. Not this is what the coach's wife has got to look like, or this is what the career mom's got to look like, or this is, you know, the prototypical, this is what the this and this and this and this looks like. But the freedom to be you and staying true to that. Here's what we need to do, though, is we always constantly need to check ourselves in the mirror with Holy Spirit and say, am I following your path that you've established for me? Because that was in the scripture that I read. Now, like I said, I'm not going to expose it. Or is it a path that I'm choosing? Because a lot of people say, well, I'm just choosing my path. I'm choosing the path the Lord established for me. That's huge. I'm choosing the path the Lord has established for me. Not something, well, I'm tired of adulting, so that's my path. I don't get it. that does not get it. What did I read to y'all last week in Romans? I think it was Romans 13, where he comes in and he says to owe no man except for that you love him as Christ loves the church, as Christ loves us and gave himself for us. So I'm indebted to you. So my path, my unique journey does not exclude me from that. It does not pull me away from people. Because we can have our selfish path or we can have our God-ordained path. There's a difference. There's a difference. And I want you to, the thing that I have found, and I'll close with this, the thing that I have found is the uniqueness in your path as you follow that, and it's the one that God has designed for you and ordained for you and orchestrated for you, will cause you to be more engaging, not less engaging. Because all of us want to disengage because it's easier. But I have found this path will cause me to be more engaging. But when I'm more engaging with his path, my life is more fulfilled. I walked out of last night, and I'll be honest with my flesh, don't love weddings because it takes up 2 days of my life. The selfish part of me. I'm just being honest, you know. But I walked out of last night, and I was like, man, that was fulfilling. That was right. That was right. And if you want your life to be rich, if you want your life to be fulfilled, then it will be a more engaging, not a less engaging. Here's where you'll find yourself. Me and Lori, when the girls were coming up, we usually, they went on most trips with us. Every once in a while, me and Lori would go on a trip without them. We always said the same thing, the exact same thing on every trip we ever took without them. Man, the girls would love this. Man, the girls would love this. God, I wish the girls were here. We'll go on hikes now and we'll be up in the mountains like you're talking about, Isaac, and we get to do that a lot. Thank God we get to do that a lot. And we're up and we're looking at these 360-degree views, and I know what you're talking about on the 360-degree view. And we're sitting there and we're looking at that and we're like, my gosh, I wish there was somebody I could share this with. I'll be on the river catching fish, and sometimes, man, I liked it, me and my guide, but you know what? I'll be on the river and I'll be catching trout and all that, and I'll be like, dang, Scott, that'd be cool if Scott was here with me, or Eric. That's why I've sent them pictures. It's not, let me brag and show you what I did. No, it's like, man, fuel a fire. I'd love to be doing this with you. I tell Lori all the time when we're doing some of our crazy hunting or fishing stuff, I said, Labby, I'd love this. There's something in me that wants you to be there with me. Whether we kill anything or not, we're going to get 14 miles in today in the mountains. That's my thing, guys. This unique journey does not detach you, make you less engaging. It makes you more engaging. It makes you more engaging. You're like, this is amazing. I want everybody to experience it. You know why we don't share Jesus more? We don't find it to be as amazing as it should be. And I'm going around to everybody at the wedding, like, you know, the last 2 days. Love works, man. Love works. It works. All these people I know, and they've been married 2, 3, 4 times. And young people come up saying, oh, no, man. I'm like, it works. Love conquers all. Love triumphs. Love wins. And I want to beat that drum because I know it's true. And when we meet, I am, we don't want to shrink back on that. We'll be like, God, I wish somebody else was here with me. That's good.
I wish they could see this. I wish they could see what I see. I wish they could see what I see.
I bet when y'all did your trip, I know it's great, it's honeymoon, or not honeymoon, anniversary trip and all that stuff, and y'all went to cruise to Cabo. Y'all had a good time just being James and Cammie, but I bet there were several times in the trip when y'all were thinking, God, I wish the kids were here to see this. I wish where they were here to enjoy this meal. Right? It's more engaging. The uniqueness of your thing is not a separating thing. It's an engaging thing. Okay? Let's stand to our feet. All right, I want to give you some homework, okay? If you don't have a Passion Translation, buy a Passion Translation. They're cheap. If you can't afford one, I'll buy you one, all right? But if you do have one, I want you to, this week, I want you to spend a little bit of your time in Hebrews 12, study the footnotes that Dr. Simmons has put on this. Study the footnotes. It will be the expository stuff about this journey. So y'all just get in that. Make sure you read the footnote. Man, I've got all those things down there highlighted and underlined. I'm like, this is good, man. That's good. That's what the Aramaic says. That's what the Greek word means. What y'all were talking about with the journey, Isaac, James, one of you guys, you know what the Greek word on that out of Hebrews 12 is? Agonos. Where we get agony from. And what they're saying in that definition basically is this life journey is going to be an obstacle course. But as we navigate this obstacle course, think about who Paul was writing this to. People that were being persecuted by Nero and culture and the Jewish community and everything else. And he said, you are on this amazing obstacle course. And in the midst of difficulties, you'll find beauty. In the midst of the last 2 weeks of your grandfather's life, you're going to find amazing beauty. And you know why that funeral was so fantastic? One of the best funerals I've ever been to. You know why it was so amazing? Because that beauty that y'all found with Virgil the last 2 weeks overflowed into the entire congregation at the funeral. I walked out feeling great. I mean, usually a funeral, you kind of walk out and you kind of bummed out. No, I walked out of that funeral feeling great. I'm like, dude, that was awesome. Marty Smith texted me and said, wow. You know why? Because y'all found beauty in it, Noah. You saw the beauty that was in it. You didn't make it up. You didn't have to prop it up. You saw the beauty that was in it. So as we're running this obstacle course, find beauty inside healing the scree. Is it hard?
Yeah.
Cut your leg up?
Yeah.
But find beauty in it. Because it's there. It's there. It's there.
I've been chewing on this for 40 minutes, but I think you just touched on it right there. Because when James was talking about what God said to Moses, who he was, the I am that I am. I think it's interesting that didn't come from a thunder. Later there was rumblings and lightning and things on the mountains that scared the people, but that. What James talked about when God said, I am, was in a burning bush that could have very easily been missed. Because God revealed himself to Moses after Moses stopped and looked at something that was not normal. So as Pastor Sid's been talking the whole time, I'm like, these things he's talking about don't always come in the vehicle you think they will.
Right.
The beauty is there. You don't have to prop it up. But if you can miss it if you're not looking.
Yes.
Amen. So the great I am is there. But sometimes he reveals himself in ways that it's not that he's not trying. We just miss it sometimes because of exactly what you're talking about. We're running a pace or going at a pace. It's not his pace for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Same thing with Elijah, still small boys. Not in the thunder, not in the lightning. Still small boys. I'm Yahweh. So you guys have an amazing week this week. Y'all have a good Labor Day tomorrow, whatever you got going on the rest of the day. Love you guys. Remember the announcements, youth next Sunday night, Jeff Vaughn's 10th year anniversary celebration and fundraiser on the 22nd. Please mark that on your calendar. Let's make a point to support that wholeheartedly. So remember that, okay? Anything else? We good with everything? You got anything, babe? You good? All right, awesome. Scott, you want to dismiss us in prayer, brother?